You are listening to Jock Journal Radio. News, opinion, and discussion for all you jock stars.
Jock Journal Radio. Jock Journal Radio brings you NFL talk late night. Just two hardcore fans talking football after their kids have gone to bed, and they invite you to join our conversation. If there's a hot topic or even a cold topic, these chumps will be jawing it up every night. So leave those nudie sites alone and call us. And if you're lucky, they might give you my number. NFL talk late night from Jock Journal Radio.
Hey, Jock Stars. How is everyone out there in Jockstar land tonight? We are glad to have you. Nash, are you here with me?
I'm here.
Go ahead and let's just get introductions out of the way. I'm Matt.
And I'm Nash.
And this is NFL Talk with Nash and Matt. Nash, why don't you go ahead and tell them how they can get a hold of us tonight?
Okay, well, guys, there's a couple of ways. First, you can always text us at 77948. You type the word text, space, and then the message. And then another way you could go about doing it is just giving us a call. You know, the good old rotary phones that people sometimes dial, or cell phones, or whatever way you want to go about doing it. But you just give us a call. And the number to do that is 405-562. And then 5463. And you can also go to jockjournal.com/JJR. Right there on the site, you'll see a thing where it says contact the show. You can fill it up, throw the city and state you're in, and we'll just read whatever you send us right on the air. We get this all comes through a nice little email funnel. So as those will come in, I'll make sure to read them.
Perfect. And we want you to chat into the show as much as you can. So don't hesitate to text us or chat. We'd love to hear anything that you guys have to say. Speaking of that, Nash, let's get into our Shock the Jock question for tonight.
Okay, yeah, let's do it.
All right, sorry. Now that one of these asshats has nerve damage from the Shock the Jock, we play a little differently.
I'm playing it now.
Gotcha.
Okay, Nash, you know what I was thinking about for the Shock the Jock question tonight? We were chatting a little bit earlier. What would you do for $100?
Well, let's see, $100. I'd probably give Plasma an hour of my time and give Plasma for $100.
Okay. What about $500?
$500? I may give Plasma five times. I don't know.
Come on, you know. You know you've done something way worse, and this is what it got me thinking about. Here's what I want. Here's your Shock the Jock question for tonight. What's the craziest thing that you've done for money?
Oh my God.
This is really going to open the can of worms. This can be anything. What, you know, what have you streaked? What have you done? Have you eaten a piece of dog poop? I mean, come on. What have you done for money?
Huh. Okay. I think the top of my list on what I've done for money was well, you remember that one time where I was dared to jump into the Willamette River and damn near did it during our debate tournament.
The filthiest river ever.
Yeah. Well, there was once that in the Army for $50, I was asked to hold a target downrange while somebody else shot it out of my hand. And I was like, no way am I doing that. And sure enough, they offered me some money. I think it started off at $200. And I went ahead and said, okay, yeah, I'll do it for $200. The guy shot it right out of my hand. It wasn't very far. It was literally like maybe 60 yards away or something like that. But he just shot it, hit the target, knocked it right out of my hand. I was completely impressed, scared out of my mind. But then he only paid me $50. And because I was attached to a SF unit, which is Special Forces at the time, I didn't make any waves. I just let the $50 lie.
Nice, nice. Well, here's what we want to hear from everyone else out there. What is the craziest thing that you've done for money? So go ahead, text us in, call us, email us, let us know. This could be worth 50 bucks to you. Tell us what the craziest thing is you've done for money. And if yours is the craziest thing that we get, then you might just win some cash.
Yeah, that could be fun. I'm dying to hear what some of these people might have to say about it.
Right? Oh, I can only imagine. I'm not even going to go into mine, so we'll keep that for a different time.
Yeah, that, you know, yours are long plenty.
Yeah, yeah. But we won't talk about those. And I want to I don't know if you can hear it, Nash, but I want to apologize. I bit the tip. Have you ever done this? I bit the tip of my tongue in the middle of the night when I was sleeping, and you wake up because you bit your tongue. It hurts so bad. I mean, it woke me up out of a dead. I don't even know how I did it, but I'm talking like this all day today because it hurts. Ugh. And I can't help it.
Okay, Cindy Brady, we got actually already a reply to the text line. Somebody says that they stuck their finger in a goat's ass for $60 from Fayetteville, Arkansas. It would have to be Arkansas to go ahead and stick a finger in a goat's ass.
For $60. No, like, yes. Not a lot of money for $60. Well, in Arkansas, maybe that's a lot of money.
Eureka, California also texted in. When I was 8, I took 2 hours and cleaned out the bottom of the washers at a laundromat for the spare change and earned $20.
Okay, that one's not bad. I mean, the goat's ass clearly has it, but...
Goat's ass has it times 10.
I don't know how you beat a goat's ass for $60. That was probably the best $60 you ever spent, knowing that you earned it.
Yeah, no joke, huh?
So we're going to keep reading those as we get some good stuff coming in, but we have a bunch to get into tonight. It is Black Monday, so there have been coaches losing their jobs, changes going on, lots of rumors swirling. Let's get right into those and go into the news.
Listen closely because this is breaking news, and we are giving it to you in the moment.
So, Nash, first one we want to talk about is the obvious one that I think everyone, maybe they didn't see coming, but probably knew it was going to happen eventually. The New York Giants came to a mutual parting of ways with Tom Coughlin. What do you think about that?
Well, honestly, I like Tom Coughlin. I think he's been a great addition to the New York Giants. He essentially has always kept them in a fighting chance situation. But I think, much like some of these older coaches, they kind of know when their time is their time. I've seen a lot of coaches just kind of like migrate off into the pasture, and I think Tom Coughlin is kind of in that same boat. I'd be very surprised to see him coaching at any level, even high school at this point. I just think it's passed him by.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. One of the best things about the story that I've heard come out is what all the players are saying about him. Have you seen this? What Eli Manning has said about him, what the other players, Justin Tuck, a bunch of players just coming out and saying, hey, this guy was one of the greatest guys that has coached, and he was really a player's coach. He took interest in us and our families. I mean, what a great guy to have worked with. And so everyone has a bunch of good stuff to say about him.
Yeah, he is a class act all the way across. Even Strahan has a lot of positive things to say about Coughlin. In fact, I think in a way, Coughlin and Strahan were kind of that close relationship that really was able to, their careers were able to build off of each other. And it's really neat to actually see with Tom Coughlin going off to the sunset. I imagine that we're going to see him on the Today Show tomorrow talking to Michael Strahan. And that's going to be made for TV to stuff right there.
Yeah. So that'll be good. Now, let me ask you, with him out, who takes that? I almost want to say there was a lot of these jobs are coveted, right? A head coaching job. But now, New York, that's a big stage. The New York Football Giants, that's a huge stage. So who steps up into that role? Right? I mean, that's a huge opportunity for anybody.
A high-profile coach is going to have to do it, but a lot of people are talking like there might be a high-profile coach who, like, quit in the middle of the season. I think we all know who I'm talking about, who might be heading up there to possibly interview. Chip Kelly is not the choice.
I don't know who you're talking about. Quit in the middle of the season? What are you talking about?
Spurrier?
Oh, okay. Okay. There you go.
I think also we got a couple of other additions to that element too that could really work. I'd love Doug Marrone. The whole situation with the Bills and him, how that kind of like imploded on itself. He's a good coach, and he's been working there in the Jaguars organization over the last year, and he has what it takes. He fits the personal profile of that kind of stoic, tough-as-nails sort of persona that is known with the whole Coughlin thing. It wouldn't be a huge transition, and it could allow for the team to just kind of move right in. However, I think what they're probably going to end up doing is going McAdoo, which makes me really upset. Good because McAdoo is just an offensive coordinator who's not ready for coaching. But his element with Odell Beckham Jr. and the fact that he's well tied in with Eli Manning, I have a feeling that's where they're going to go, which would be a bad choice in my opinion.
Yeah, I was reading that same stuff today, and it seems like the way that Manning's coming out saying, hey, I don't want to learn a whole new system. Just not something I'm interested in doing. I don't want a whole new coach. If we do that, and he's almost making a pitch for it, saying, hey, if we do that, we're again a couple years away from being competitive, trying to learn a whole new system. With McAdoo, it's the same system we've been in. It's something we're used to, and I feel like we could pick up pretty quickly. So, you know, maybe when he's done doing this, he could sell used cars. He's doing a pretty good pitch on this one. He's interviewing for next year.
Yeah, exactly. You know, honestly, when you get an organization like the Giants that have had an incumbent coach for a very long time, it's very rare that they actually hire outside their organization. They usually know who they're going to have in those spots years before they actually make that next switch. So McAdoo, I believe, has probably been groomed, but they're going to have to go the whole Rooney rule and, you know, interview at least one black coach before hiring. It's part of the rules. It's part of the way things are going. And I imagine that it'll be probably Wednesday or Thursday when they finally make their decision. Unless, of course, McAdoo doesn't want it, which is a possibility considering all the, you know, weird dynamics that are kind of going in on that organization at this point. It's beginning to have that changing of the tide with the young players now kind of unseating some of the incumbents that have been there for a long period of time. And that could be a mess when all is said and done.
Okay. Okay. Well, now let's go to another pretty high profile position that has opened up. San Francisco. Tom Sula. I think everyone knew that Greasy Tom Sula was going to be out, right? I don't think anyone expected him to retain that job. So now, this is a pretty coveted place as well. I mean, you come in there, yeah, you got some things to work on, but you have a decent team around you that didn't do horrible this year. You have some pieces to work with, and you're in San Francisco. One thing you'll say about San Francisco, they have loyal fans. There's always going to be people in the stand, so it's a pretty good gig. What do you see happening here?
Yeah, that's anybody's guess. I have a tad of inside information I'm not allowed to actually fully comment on. However, what I can tell you is I can't reveal sources.
What are you talking about?
I can't. I really can't.
Inside information.
Sworn to secrecy, and because I am part of the media now, when things are off the record, they're just straight up off the record. However,
well, give us some hint to what it is.
I can say that this move that they're wanting to make will be somebody who has coached on the West Coast before. And I can only tell you that. So look through the two main people, Sean Payton, Chip Kelly, and try to figure out which one you think they're going to take.
Okay, so you're saying Chip Kelly to the San Francisco 49ers.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Well, that will.
That was actually what I was told too.
That would be interesting, and we'll see what happens there. I mean, I got to tell you, okay, that makes sense. We'll see how that works out. when we're talking about Sean Payton, he's looking for a second rounder. Do you think that's too expensive? I mean, Sean Payton's not even available technically, but it seems like they're willing to deal him. They've already come out and said they're looking for, you know, about a second rounder for him. Is that too expensive or is that worth it?
How much? Give me those facts and figures one more time, please.
A second round pick.
Second round pick is nothing, and when you're talking about Sean Payton, I mean, you take a look at the precedent. You had John Gruden, who went from the Raiders head coach, never won him a Super Bowl at that level at that point, or had he? No, I think he just took him to a Super Bowl.
No, took him there.
You know, and he went and became the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coach as a first round pick. Now Sean Payton is a value as a second round pick. And not only that, his contract is not too god-awfully expensive when you consider NFL head coaches of his pedigree. You got a good situation there. He's definitely a second-round pick, if not a first-round.
Okay, fair enough. Now, the last place, you know, another coveted place that people want to go, Cleveland. What do you think?
Nobody wants to go to Cleveland.
No, I know. No one wants to go to Cleveland. So what do? Do they promote the water boy? I mean, who's the coach of the Cleveland Browns?
Well, they're shellacking this whole organization. And I honestly think that sometimes it's best to start over like you're a franchise team. I really do. Like you're just a brand new franchise. Just get everybody out. They're going to have to figure out what they're going to do with not only Manziel, but a lot of other people too. Like, look at Josh Gordon, for instance.
They've started this guy, over like six times. How many times do you start over, really?
It's like you get it right.
They're like a heroin addict.
They are. They really are.
They're in the rehab 12 times. They're not getting clean.
You got to have the right foundation. And every time they build a foundation, they build it on players that have completely lost their mind. Right now, their best two players on their offense are Johnny Manziel. Well, Joe Thomas is pretty damn good too. But Johnny Manziel and Josh Gordon. And those two players right there are just – that's a good start. But they're both head cases who are going to basically spend more time – on the bench or in suspended from the NFL than they are in actual game situations. Yeah. You can't build on that. You can't depend on
that. Yeah, that's not a good start for a football team. That's a good start for a fraternity.
Exactly. The frat boys are out, and they're smoking weed, Johnny Manziel and Josh Gordon style.
Okay, well, now the last thing, you know, there are some other things, and this is kind of funny. I feel like maybe this Black Monday was a little bit tempered because we already had Miami, Tennessee. They fired their coaches midway through the season. Eagles jumped the gun, got rid of Chip Kelly quick. So what are you hearing rumors about the other places?
Well, everybody's saying Doug Peterson is the number one candidate in Philadelphia. And I got to say to those people, are you stupid? You got rid of Chip Kelly for a reason, right? Not Chip Kelly. You got rid of him too, but you also got rid of Andy Reid for a reason. These people are not putting you over the top. Getting another West Coast offensive guy is not going to make you a Super Bowl contender. If you want a head coach, you have to find out somebody who's not just going to win now, but has the philosophy of winning forever. Not just going to put little, you know, band-aids and try to put the best team out there for the particular time and see what they could do, but has an ultimate plan of building a dynasty. Andy Reid was close to that, but his offensive system in today's NFL is antiquated. Why would you go with Doug Peterson, who is nothing but a carbon copy of the antiquated offense that you just got rid of to get Chip Kelly and have this high-fangled, awesome new offense? Why would you go the step back and go back to where you were? Okay. Yeah, you might end up 10-6, 11-5, maybe even 12-4 if you're lucky. But that's not the type of team that could win. That's not the type of team that can win with that offense, and those type of coaching decisions are not going to win you a Super Bowl.
Nash, I value your opinions, but that one, I'm going to have to flush. I'm sorry. I cannot have you badmouth Doug Peterson like that. I just don't know what you're talking about. You're going to change your tune when he wins the Super Bowl. That'll be fine. Then you'll be saying, "Oh, clamor for him." Look, it's fine. Maybe I would love him to stay in Kansas City. I want him to stay the offensive coordinator. don't start saying that. And I don't know why you're Doug Marrone. Doug Marrone hasn't had any success at the NFL level. So I don't know why we're talking about these other coaches that have come from college and have had zero success in the NFL when you're looking at an offensive coordinator who does a damn good job, who's taken his team to a 10-game winning streak. So badmouth them all you like. I think they could do a lot worse than Doug Peterson.
Well, Doug, just so you know, Doug Peterson actually does already have a Super Bowl as a player, as a backup to Brett Favre in Green Bay. But, you know, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, as a coach, he's only been at this level since 2009. That's 7 years as an NFL offensive quality control coach for the Philadelphia Eagles. Then he went in and became a quarterback coach because that's what he was. He was a quarterback. You guys might remember him. He had the great quarterback hair. He was that guy. You know, but he really was nothing more than a backup. And he wasn't even a really good backup at that. And then transitioning over to coaching, which I applaud him. He's done a pretty good job as a quarterback's coach for the Philadelphia Eagles. But then being thrown in as an offensive coordinator for the Chiefs in 2013, he was really nothing super crazy special. He just and he kind of has that same sort of, you know, presence to him as a human being. When you hear him talk, you don't get all motivated, you don't get all jazzed up, you don't get all excited. I mean, he's the same guy as a quarterback as he will be for a coach. And get this, I'm talking badly about a guy who's from Bellingham, Washington. So you know, I've seen him. I know what he could do.
Nothing shocking there.
I just know that he's not the answer. He just isn't the answer. Okay. Deuce Staley would be a better choice.
Oh, you're out of your mind. Now you're done.
As a running back coach,
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's the first he's got some really good running backs on that Philadelphia Eagles team. Deuce Staley is a better choice, but even then, that's still not the best choice for this situation. The Philadelphia Eagles want somebody who has the ability to possibly turn this franchise into a long-term winner. The only person out there right now, and they would be giving up that second-round choice, is Sean Payton.
They're not going to get Sean Payton. They're probably going to go with Adam Gase, someone like that. So now we can move on. We've heard your opinion on that one. What do you think about Miami? Miami's bringing in a bunch of people, but everything I hear says they're kind of holding out for the Patriots. Matt Patricia.
I'm sorry. Say that again, please.
Miami is holding out for the New England Patriots. What do you think?
Okay. They want a Patriots coach. Okay. No. There's nothing there. Mike Patricia is one of those big old, like, mountain men type of guys.
Matt Patricia. And he,
whatever. The guy who with the girl's last name. This comes from a guy with the last name.
I swear to God, I hope you see him somewhere in a bar and he beats your ass.
He does, and I'll be sorry. No, I definitely need to get a pair of trimmers and trim that beard up of his. The dude looks like a freaking walking mountain. He's good, and he knows what he's doing, and he's a smart coach. However, I just don't see him as being the kind of nastiness that the Dolphins need either. They need somebody who's going to come in and just make them gritty and hard, which is what they were missing with both Campbell as the interim, but the guy they got rid of before Campbell, his name's escaping me all of a sudden because Joe Philbin. There was no nastiness with that team. They need somebody who's hard and nasty, somebody like a Dennis Green or a Mike Tice, somebody who just scares people. Oh, Tom Cable, that'd be another good choice. Somebody who just frightens people into submission, and with those cold, steely, you know, gaze. You know, another nasty person is, again, Sean Payton. I don't know why he's not getting more play all across the league.
He's got to be the greatest thing.
He's got to be the number one choice.
Well, maybe he is, but he's only going to go to one team.
Yeah. I don't know why people aren't standing in line to throw that second round pick. I would be like, forget that. I want this guy. I'm giving my first round pick well, maybe not first round pick, because those are like in the top 15. The people that are looking for a first round pick are like in the top 15 picks. But I'd definitely be giving a second round pick for this guy. And I would delay. I would have already made that call, and I would have made sure that he's heading up my way. And I wouldn't have even let Sean Payton make the decision as to whether or not he wants the job. I would own his rights. So that way, eventually, if he does find the job that he quote-unquote wants, he's at my mercy, and I could trade him for maybe a first-round pick or something even better than that.
You are an evil genius.
No, why not? Awesome. Yeah, why not? Drive the price up.
You're just so manipulative, it scares me. I'm glad I'm on this end of this. So...
No, I'm serious. Do you really want to see Doug Peterson go? Yeah, of course you do, because he's got a boring freaking offense with a guy named Alex Smith.
Okay.
That's why you're not afraid of losing
him. You're done now. wait till I'm going to flush you again if you don't stop. So let's stop bad-mouthing Doug Peterson. When he wins us an NFL championship this year against your Seattle Seahawks, then you'll shut your mouth. So I'm going to shut it for you, and we're going to go to break.
Okay.
Can we take a moment and stop listening to these idiots long enough to get the Cars for Kids jungle stuck in my head?
Cars for Kids. KARS Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
Also on the web at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K. We're a recognized 501c3 charity organization, so you'll receive a maximum tax deduction. What's more, you'll receive a free vacation voucher of 3 days and two nights.
1-877 Cars for Kids. KARS Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
Are you looking for the web's best sports news? Visit jockjournal.com. Sports media has lost its touch. It seems that journalists are scared to report what they see in fear of losing access to the teams they cover. At jockjournal.com, you get inside information on the entire NFL community without all the politics or fears other writers have. That's jockjournal.com. When you need the NFL sports news, information, opinions, fantasy football, or discussions, there is only one place to go, and it's jockjournal.com.
How would you love to generate a great income from the comfort of your home? Well, now you can. This amazing money-making home-based business is designed to give you time and freedom. Would your life change if you made $10,000 within 21 days and $20,000 plus every month thereafter? Sounds amazing, right? Anyone can do it, even you. Call 800-704-8681 and let their expert staff tell you all about this brand new business opportunity. Why wait? You have nothing to lose. We have the tools, training, resources, and community to help anyone get on the fast track to success. Call 800-704-8681. That's 800-704-8681. It's the easiest, most powerful home-based money-making system on the web. Call today and change your life.
You are listening to Jock Journal Radio. News, opinion, and discussion for all you jock stars.
Okay, we're back. I had to surf porn and post my pics on an adult website.
And we're back. So, got the bills paid, Nash, and now we can kind of chat a little bit more about some other things. Well, we've had a couple surprises. Now, we didn't really get into Tennessee, but I'm going to leave that for another time. We'll get into that. I don't know if Tennessee is this hot market or what. But what I really wanted to talk about, we had some interesting non-firings today.
Yes, we have. Some places I would have thought for sure would have gone the other direction. Right? Like, for instance, Pagano. I almost thought for sure he had made his bed to the point where he was going to be gone. But he's they're going to go ahead and keep him, as well as Gus Bradley of the Jaguars. I know the news came out last week about that, but you have to be a little surprised. I mean, it's been what now, 3 years that he hasn't really done, or 4 years, 3 or 4 years that he hasn't done anything there.
I don't know about anything.
They didn't win this year.
They had a very good offense, and I only think they're a couple pieces away from being competitive. So to say that you're rough on people today, I wish you would get a head coaching job, and then you could get eaten up by people. He's won some games there and made that team fairly competitive in all the games that they're in. They're only a couple pieces away from really having an excellent record. So he's done a good job with that team, I think.
Yeah, no, he has done a good job with the player personnel and getting things moving in the right direction. And that might be why he kept his job. However, in 3 years, most coaches don't get 3 years to put together the pieces that he has put together. Did Mike Tomsula get 3 years? He barely got 3 months.
Oh, come on. That guy was sweating all over the sideline. No one thought he was going to keep that job. The minute he started sweating gravy, people knew he was done.
Would it be wrong for me to say he came and went as fast as Ron Jeremy?
Wow. Tom Sula, he just doesn't look like a head coach. He looked nervous. He looked greasy on the sideline. I just couldn't see him really, doing much there. And I feel he wasn't put in an ideal situation, right? Bad division between the old coach. He steps in. I think he kind of knew it was an interim thing. Unless by some miracle he turned that team around.
It's weird because it seemed Harbaugh had some statements on his Twitter account last night considering this whole circumstances in San Francisco. He really, this whole don't be deceived, you reap what you sow.
Yeah,
what
I saw
is that about? It's terrible. I don't know if he's actually saying something to the former coach or to his former team. It's so cryptic. It's hard to tell exactly what it is. And he's not going to give you a straight answer. But I have a feeling it has to do something with that coaching change.
I also read something about a bizarre interview that the GM gave today.
What? I didn't hear anything about this.
Not an interview, but a press conference where he just came out and sounded out of his mind. We'll have to look into that and chat it up tomorrow. But it just doesn't seem like, below Trent Baalke, it just doesn't seem like a very, like an organization that has anything together, which makes you wonder who really wants to come into a situation like that.
I know I wouldn't unless I had the pedigree and like a 5-year, $30 million type contract just sitting there just saying, okay, if you guys decide to cut me early, I'm going to go ahead and collect all that money. So you're going to give me the 5 years out of respect to the fact that I am a well-established coach to put together a Super Bowl caliber team for you. Now, especially in the NFC West, where you have the Arizona Cardinals, the Seattle Seahawks, and the Rams, all three very, very heavy, difficult teams to contend with. Honestly, why would anybody want that job? Why?
No, I agree, unless it's someone that burned their bridges and doesn't feel like they might not get another coaching opportunity around the league. Maybe Chip Kelly?
No. Well, I would think, that, honestly, that Chip Kelly, if anybody's going to do it, it might be Chip Kelly. But he's not gonna have the type of success there that you might expect. Colin Kaepernick could fit his system perfectly. He really could. But, you know, it's not going to be a perfect honeymoon. There's going to this whole concept that the 49ers are a coach away from making something happen is a complete misnomer, because their whole personnel is just completely screwed. They're going to need a good 4-5 year investment to turn them back into something right.
That's also assuming that Kaepernick stays there.
Yeah, no, it's it would be. But I would imagine any coach who's coming in would like to have at least a Kaepernick to choose from for that first year. I think, honestly, this whole thing with the coaching situation has actually given Colin Kaepernick another chance. He's out with an injury right now, and yes, his mechanics are dicked up, and everything is really bad with the situation of personnel-wise. However, you can't blame Colin Kaepernick for a team imploding. And yes, he's just part of that product, but you have a possibility of a quarterback who could become good again with the right tutelage and coaching.
Okay. I like how we disagree on this. A lot of these things. I think Kaepernick leaves and he goes somewhere else. I don't think he gets a second chance there. I think Gabbard is your best option there right now. Maybe you draft another quarterback. And I think any coach coming in is going to want to scrap that, right? It's just like a new manager coming into a job, probably going to fire everyone but a couple people that are going to go along with his system.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely correct on that. It really could be it's going to be hard to figure out which pieces are in place, but I think Kaepernick is going to be almost an attractive piece to that puzzle for any new coach that comes in there. Definitely not going to be Blaine Gabbert.
Here's the other one that surprised me. San Diego.
Yeah, however, I kind of...
How does that not surprise you? They were dog crap this year. There is no reason that coach should have... There is no reason anyone on that team should be retained.
Well, here's the thing, right? We're not out of the woods yet on Mike McCoy. We really aren't. He's got a lot of problems, and he's only 43 years old, which for a coach is pretty young. I think with the fact that the move is pending, the last thing that people want to do if they want to retain any of their fan base, the last thing you want to do is completely change a lot of personnel. It's going to feel like your team is leaving and a completely different team is fielded on that field in LA. So I think they're kind of in this, like, you know, this year sucked, but we're not going to make any major differences or changes because we have already way too much to deal with this pending move to LA if it happens. And then, you know, this has only been 2 years since they've gotten rid of Norv Turner. You kind of have to let him see what he could do. He has a great pedigree. He was with the Panthers for 8 years, everything from wide receivers coach to quarterback coach to, you know, he's got the experience. Now we just need to watch it all come together. And a 20-21 regular season record and 1-1 postseason record is not bad for a coach who has only been really, you know, in that role for a short period of time. I think he gets a mulligan.
Okay, well, I mean, he's got a mulligan from the team. They're retaining him, and they let go of the offensive coordinator. So he obviously deflected some of that, and they had to have someone to give to the masses, to the mob mentality. They had to sacrifice someone, and that's who went. And it might be the defensive coordinator as well.
Perfect. You know, defensive coordinator, I'm all for it. That whole defense is really not good. And the whole thing that happened with Weddle, get rid of all the people who had it out for, you know, the Weddle situation. I get that, you know, what you're saying is like, that's not really team oriented. Okay, yeah, great. Your team is about to leave. This guy is essentially retiring and you're being like this. What's the point? I think that This whole year for the San Diego Chargers is one big do-over, and it's really hard to determine at this point where your value really lies. You just spent a huge draft pick, a number 8 overall for Melvin Gordon. That's your number one issue, is can this guy be turned around? Because that's going to affect your franchise a whole lot more. A whole lot more than your head coach.
I need a mulligan on that pick.
Yeah, well, they don't. There's no mulligans on draft picks, unfortunately. You live and die by it.
They're going to die
but
by
you
that
do.
One.
That's a dead one. You know what? I saw that, too. I totally saw that. Anybody who has 2,700 yards rushing the year before, don't draft that guy. That's like the DeMarco Murray factor. The guy's has too many miles on him, was run too hard. Maybe in a couple of years he'll be back to normal. But right now he's just looking like a guy and that has got too many miles on his young legs. 2,700 yards from scrimmage from Wisconsin. You just don't do that. You don't expect your guy to come from that and be successful.
Okay. So let's do something real fast here. We don't have time to go over every game that happened, but I wanted to recap a couple games as they're heading into the playoffs, just to kind of see what you think about this. First one we have is obviously the Patriots drop one to the Miami Dolphins. They've now lost a couple going into the playoffs. Is this even a team to be afraid of now?
No. It isn't. And until they can show that there is something there to be worried about, you can't be scared of the Patriots. The Patriots are like it's kind of like Siegfried and Roy show. You know that the damn tiger's not going to bite the guy's head off. So why is he even putting his head in there in the first place? It doesn't scare you. It's
Dude,
that's the
Richard type. Richard from the free or Richard from the show right before ours just fell over in his armchair trying to get out of it. He was so mad at you. I can hear him right now cursing your name.
Well, when you've lost 4 of your last 6 games and your only two wins are to AFC South opponents, the worst division in football, you don't really have a lot to be happy about. They lost against the Jets. You lost against the Dolphins. You lost against the Broncos. And you lost against the Eagles. Guess what? 2 of those 4 teams lost their coaches, and you lost to them. That's not a championship-quality team.
Here's the one thing.
If comes back and automatically, oh, this team is so great. Oh, I love it again. You're an idiot. Steven Jackson, the tires have come off that dude. Julian Edelman is if he does come back, I can't imagine him coming back at 100%. Rob Gronk, okay, you got a great tight end, but even he could be double or triple teamed if that's your only legitimate target. Tom Brady, I feel bad for him. This is not
now
how
he's got a sprained ankle.
Well, yeah, exactly. He's limping around. Oh, my leg hurts. My leg.
So, okay, now the one thing that I've seen when I'm reading about this, right, I look today at all this always drives me nuts, the playoff, who has the easiest path to the Super Bowl, who are the favorites, and the Patriots are on all of them. Why? And all of them just say this, it's the New England Patriots, more or less.
I know, I hate that. It's
the New England Patriots, and you know you can never count them out. That's it. No valid argument for why they would actually be ranked number one in the AFC when there's other teams that are clearly better than them, but they're the Patriots, so they get the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. See, that's just utter garbage. It really is. You don't give – it's the NFL. You don't get intimidated by the pinstripes of the Yankees type of thing. You know, everybody used to say – man, those Yankees, they look good in their pinstripes. And that was a mystique. But it's the NFL, guys. Don't be intimidated by the mystique. So many teams get so wrapped up in the Belichick and all the Spygate. And it becomes a distraction. So you're not actually able to focus on the things that are actually truly happening inside of your locker room and inside with the team. You're so worried about being bugged that you're not focusing on the game plan.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. So the next one. The Broncos, what happened here? The Chargers actually took the Broncos to a close game, and we see a return of Peyton Manning after Osweiler turns the ball over 4 or 5 times. What's going on? Is Manning play now?
Manning is not capable of playing. And if you looked at those passes, they were dead ducks, just floating off of the sand, just sitting in there in the air.
Is that and the I'm floating? Surprised he didn't that's get, what it sounds like?
Yeah, that's a... It sounded like a dead duck just falling out of the air. And that's how slow those things were. Peyton Manning just basically out-Manninged him. He put that big old giant dome on, and he outbrained everybody on that team. He was able to outsmart the entire San Diego Chargers defense, which is a testament to how smart that man is. He didn't do it on talent. My passes, I decided that, you know, I was going to check this. I was like, am I overestimating my ability? I'm like, yes. Can I make that pass faster 100%. Than Peyton Manning? And I went out and I did it. I made that pass faster than Peyton Manning. I have more arm strength than my arm.
Oh, come on. How would you even get out of here? How would you even know that?
Because it was a 31-yard pass where it was actually in the air. 31 yards. He was doing a 17 and out. It was the one to
Here's a Nash and Matt NFL Jock Journal challenge for you right now, Nash, because I think you're full of BS. Yeah. Go out. I want you to film that. I'll give you a week to film that and time it. I don't even care if it's on time. I want to see a video of you making a 31-yard pass. That's all. On target. Put a trash can there. You make a 31-yard pass towards that trash can, and I'll give you a prize. How's that sound?
No problem. I will surprise you on this.
I dare you. I want to see that.
Oh, dude, I could still make a 35-yard pass without much issue. My arm is still good. It really is.
Okay. I dude, when you put the video up, then I'll believe it.
Okay. Well, then that will happen, and I will shock your jock.
You can just put the video up. You don't need to do anything with my jock, okay?
So, hey, I'll do anything for $50.
So you're saying Osweiler, obviously. So you're telling me that Osweiler now plays.
No, Osweiler's not going to play because the legacy needs to die with Peyton Manning. And we're going to see that essentially Brock Osweiler, I don't know why people are so hot on this guy, okay? He's nothing more than Mike Glennon 2.0. And we all saw how that ended up. He got a start for a little while, and then he was replaced. And that is all he is. Guys, you can't build a franchise around him. Peyton Manning is still a better chance in the playoffs for the Denver Broncos at this point. He just has the it factor that Osweiler doesn't have. I'm not saying that this is a long-term solution, but until Peyton Manning goes down, crash, burn, boop, you don't have another option at playoff level football than Peyton Manning or Brock Osweiler. It's got to be. It has to be Peyton Manning.
Okay. So,
and his peak gun of an arm.
I'm excited for whoever gets to play Denver, but I think it'll ultimately be the Kansas City Chiefs, and I'd love a remake. So we'll see. Well, yeah. here's the game that I'm sure you've been dying to talk about, Nash. We're going to do two NFC games because we did two AFC, so be brief on this. Your Seattle Seahawks went in and put it to the Arizona Cardinals pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
I said be brief, not say one sentence, one word about it. How did the Seattle Seahawks go in and treat the starting? It's not like they sat everyone. The starting Arizona Cardinals like they were a college team.
That's exactly how it happened. Right now, Seattle Seahawks are playing on a completely different level, a level that is not nobody else is ready for at all, anywhere. And I know last week everybody was like, but the Seahawks, they lost to the Rams last week. Okay,
they did lose to the Rams.
That team does match up perfectly against the Seahawks. Plus, with all the things that were going on with everything from the
No, don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah,
why? You know what I need? I need a conspiracy theorist. I need a conspiracy theory like tune on here from the X-Files that I can play when you talk about why Seattle loses a game. It's always everything. It's always like, oh, no, you don't understand what happened. See, Jupiter converged and the planets hadn't been like this in a long time. And so it threw Russell Wilson. It's always this huge, long act. Look, they dropped a game because you never know what Seattle team can show up. And when they play a decent defense, most of the time, they drop the ball.
and that was the problem, is they were dropping the ball all over the place with the rain coming down like crazy. Five fumbles is uncharacteristic of that particular team. And if you watch the game, you'll see everybody completely and totally drenched. Yes, it's Seattle. But if you've ever lived in Seattle and know anything about Seattle, it doesn't typically rain hard. It sprinkles all the way throughout the day like a mist or a fog or something crazy that just pisses you off. It doesn't rain like that. And it was raining like that the entire game, causing that ball to just be like almost like trying to hold on to what were those things in the 80s where it was like a tube full of water and you just slide it right out of your hand? That's what that ball was like for those poor guys. And it's hard to hold on to the ball, and especially with the team that we had. Those were not good people. Bryce Brown, Kristen Michael, both fumble prone like crazy. Things like getting two fumble opportunities that the center in consecutive plays lands on, one of which was 20 yards downfield, you know, that just doesn't happen.
Giving all these excuses. What happens when they go into Minnesota and it's snowing there and they're in terrible conditions? Is this a close game?
Weather is always the equalizer of all games. The worst teams in the league can lose in the right conditions.
All right.
Or the best team best teams can lose in the right conditions.
That brings us to the last game we're going to talk about. I mean, Minnesota is hosting a playoff game. They beat the Green Bay Packers. They came back in Lambeau Field to beat them. That was an ugly game. And I got to tell you, one thing that stuck out to me about this game, and I would be concerned if I'm a Packers fan, Aaron Rodgers doesn't look like Aaron Rodgers. In all the things aside, pass to James Jones in the end zone, he flat out missed that pass. James Jones had 4 yards toward the end zone, that side, with no one there. Rodgers missed it, period. He doesn't usually miss any. He had a lot of open looks he didn't see. Guys falling down where his receiver was wide open, and he missed it. What's going on? What's happening? This isn't the Aaron Rodgers we've ever seen.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Shell-shocked. The guy's just beat up. His offensive line has been terrible for almost the entire year. And we've seen quarterbacks who have been great quarterbacks from like college or even come in and have a great year, all of a sudden without the offensive line, look like utter dog crap. And that's what's happening with Aaron Rodgers. He's not getting the time to set up. He's missing Jordy Nelson. And then he's got the Davante Adams running weird freaking routes that aren't even on the script. So he only has Randall Cobb, which is an above average good receiver that he's over the years has made look like a great receiver because he's had the time. He just doesn't have that now. And that is why Aaron Rodgers is ultimately imploding.
Yeah, it's definitely not been pretty to watch. So,
no, it hasn't.
We went over a lot of this stuff, guys, and tune in tomorrow night because we're going to be able to go over the coming games. We'll go into a little of this. We'll do some news, but we're also going to get into a couple of these games. We'll talk about who the favorites are. We'll talk about the path to the Super Bowl and who we think is going to do well, the upcoming games, who we think is going to win those games. But right now, it's time for your favorite part of the night, our
name that year.
Exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for everyone's favorite show. We will play a sound clip, and if you can guess the year this clip was live, you will be eligible for big money.
Okay, guys, so you know how we play this game. I'm going to play a clip, and then you are going to text us in what year and what team that was. What team, what year, what game that was, and let us know when it happened. So here's the clip. Good luck to everyone, and I'll play it right now.
Inside, you hook and go outside. Eric Bjornsson did the same thing there that Jay Novacek made a living on.
Well, Bjornsson's healthy. Played all last year on two bad ankles. Tried to gain weight. Now he's lost weight, and he's healthy. And here's Aikman going deep. He's got somebody open. Touchdown, Aikman. To Michael Irvin.
Michael Irvin made a heck of a move on Donnell Wolford out there when Wolford was going for an out. You know, he was playing that short area. He thought that he was going to stop, and then he just ran right by him. Michael Irvin was...
Well, Nash, you can't hear that, but...
No.
It's just good to hear Madden, John Madden, go in and cover a game. I love listening to Madden.
Did we get some Summerall in there, too?
He was great. Yeah, it was good. And it's, you know, just the Troy Aikman to Michael Irvin is a beautiful thing, and I did that. We're in Texas, wanted to give. I know Dallas fans want to shoot themselves in the head just because of they're probably going to have Manziel quarterbacking their team next year, and they're probably a little bitter. So I wanted to give them something to remember the good old days.
Perfect. Well, with that,
I'm Nash. Or you're not. Wait.
That was awesome.
Wow.
I just Jedi mind
screwed you there. You really did. You are. Yeah. So we'll end it with that note. I'm Matt.
I'm Nash.
And this has been NFL Talk.
Have a nice night.
That was NFL Talk Late Night from Jack Journal with the biggest morons in the country. If you aren't asleep already, it might be time to get to bed. However, I'm sure most of you are still looking for me on AshleyMadison.com.